remember times out there when at night, and when fishing was good, the boats would line up in a line. They would be side by side by side, hundreds of yards long boats. Just this one great big row of boats going down the lake with the current and the wind. And everybody was dipping up fish. And you take that night after night after night and year after year after year, and you're going to have impact on the resource. You can't help but. But we wasn't aware of it at the time.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm basing everything now on my opinion and my experience,
sure,
not on any scientific data or whatever.
Well,
this is
just
my observation, and that's the only logic that I could come out with. Because it tapered off. Fishing, the monkey fishing started tapering off in the late 50s. Wasn't catching that many, and the game department decided that it's got to end, and they came around and they threatened sanctions against fish houses and so forth and so on. So the fish houses in turn brought pressure on the fishermen not to do it. So consequently, most of it got stopped by that means.
Why
during that area.
Why hadn't the fishing game done more before? Were they just turning their head?
No, listen, they were out there every night and every day. Gosh, I could tell you stories about the way they used to chase us. Holy,
it's real Dukes of Hazzard kind of stuff.
Oh gosh, Moonshine City. we would do things. We would put two motors on one boat to get more speed to outrun.
Oh great.
Oh gosh, and they would come out and they would chase us.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were about to get caught, you would throw your equipment overboard. And then of course there's no evidence. There's no case, right? So you'd throw your equipment overboard and then stop, and then you'd sit there and you'd shoot the breeze with the game warden. And there'd be night after night after night in Dunn's Creek down here whenever us boys would go down there to go fishing at Dunn's Creek. And we'd hear the game wardens coming. You could hear the motor.
Sure.
You could hear them coming, and you'd just sit there and wait. And they would stop, and we'd sit around and shoot the breeze, and we'd decide, well, we might as well go on back to the house. Ain't no need us going fishing tonight. And that kind of thing, and we'd go back home, and then they'd go on their patrol, and we wouldn't fish that night. And then if we figured the next night they're not going to be out there, we'd go down there and we'd listen. We didn't hear anything, then we'd go on and fish, and we'd fish all night. And gosh, we'd haul truckload after truckload of fish out of the creek. It was amazing. That was the easiest kind of fishing there is in the world.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just. Gosh, you turn the machine on, the fish comes with the top belly up, and you dip him up and put him in the boat. That's just that simple. And there
would be. How do you turn the machine? How does the machine work? What does it look like?
You know what the magneto telephone looks like?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that magneto inside of there?
And so
the
you're
little whirly
generating
thing.
Generating electricity.
You're generating electricity, and we would attach wires.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have two wires off the machine: a ground and a hot wire. The ground. You would put those wires in the water. You would expose the metal part
right
of the
wire
and stick them right in the water, one off the front of the boat, one off the back of the boat. Like I told you, we had ours mechanized. We had a little heater blower motors attached to ours, and then we'd hook the heater motor heater motor to the battery, and then that would turn the generator, and that would generate the charge, and it would send
Pretty
it through
smart.
The water. And then fish would come up in an area around the boat where the charge would extend. Now, the charge wouldn't extend, but probably 12 to 14 feet radius around the boat. That's the only area that it would affect. And it didn't kill the fish. It just stunned the fish. If the fish got outside of the field of the electricity, he would swim on off. He would go. If you didn't catch him, he would go off. You'd catch him the next night. But but yeah, that's what, and it only affect. You couldn't put your hand in the water and feel the charge. You couldn't feel.
Really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times we'd fall overboard, or we'd get into a wasp nest, and you'd have to jump overboard to keep the wasp from stinging you, and so forth and so. But yeah, a lot of times we'd be in the water. This one particular day, I was going to be a real hot shot. The fish was coming up on the other side of this guy's boat, and I was in my boat here, and all the fish was over there, and I wasn't getting any, and I was standing there, and so. I was going to be real slick, and I was going to jump over onto their boat seat and dip up some of those fish and pour them back into my boat. And I jumped over and hit that wet boat seat, and I kept right on going.
No!
Right in the water. But anyway, yeah, you
but
couldn't.
But you didn't feel, get hurt because of electricity.
No, no, you couldn't feel anything. No.
And it would just stun them.
Just stun them, yeah.
Put them all in the boat. Yeah. Wouldn't they all flop around when they came to?
In the boat, sure, yeah. No, they were still
but
alive.
But they wouldn't flop
no,
out.
No, no, they wouldn't jump. It's just like we put them in the boat with cat lines or traps. Like,
there's a lot of hyenas.
Yeah.
Wow. That does sound like easy fishing.
Oh, those were exciting times. Gosh, we'd go out and we'd have chases. The game wards would chase.
That was in the 50s.
In the 50s, yeah. One time they strung cat line across the creek, just under the edge of the water. The game wards did. Strung cat line across. And we come running through there, and it got hung up in our propeller and slowed our boat down. And we got caught. At that time, I was the unknown juvenile. They made a case against myself and my buddy, and me being underage, they couldn't actually bring a case on me. But during that era, I was the unknown juvenile that they made a case against for that. But
that's pretty gosh, funny. But everybody was doing.
Everybody
it.
Was. Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Ready supply of magnetos. It got to the point where you started saving when you had to throw your equipment over. You kept a knife in your monkey box. We had the little boxes that we set the thing in, carrying cases type thing. You kept a knife in your monkey box, and you actually cut the magneto away from the motor to save your motor. Motors got so scarce, the blower motors, they got so scarce. They was more scarce than the magnetos. So the most important thing was to save your motor so you could hook up another magneto to your motor.
That is wild.
Yeah.
How many years did that go on for?
Gosh, that started in, around 53, I think. Around 53, 54, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I always wondered, asked you, I don't know why. Where did the word monkey come from?
It's just a name that cropped up somewhere. Somebody referred to one somewhere or other as a monkey to keep from calling it a telephone or a magneto or electric fishing or whatever. So I think it originated at Willacka or Georgetown. I'm not sure about it.
Because in Tennessee, they call it telephone and fish.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is a great name. I'm going to go telephones and fish tonight. That's so
funny. That's
logical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's
why
just...
Squirrel?
Yeah, well...
Or squirrel fishing.
It's just a name that got tagged on and it stuck. But oh, gosh. Yeah.
It must have been wild.
It was. Oh, gosh. Oh. You can't imagine. It was... And at that time, no regulations on boats. You didn't have to have running lights. We would, at times, we would take off from Georgetown, and we would go from Georgetown to Palatka. And Bard Gale's Fish House at Palatka is where everybody would congregate if we was going to fish the north side of the bridge. We'd all congregate there at the fish house, and tides played an important role, too. At certain tides, you would catch more fish than you would... Outgoing tide was the best tide to fish. That's when you caught more fish than the incoming tide. I don't know why, but that was the way it was. We'd all congregate at the Bard Gale Fish House, and at that time it was called Heartbreak Hotel. That's when Elvis's song was popular, right? Heartbreak. Everybody would gather up there. That was called a Heartbreak Hotel. And you would either snooze or you would go up the street to the theater. Mm-hmm. Go to the movie, wait for the tides, or you'd go up to Angel's Dining Car and get something
to
eat.
Angels, yeah.
You'd get something to eat at Angel's, or you'd just hang around. A lot of them had mattresses thrown upstairs in the loft of the old fish house, and they'd go up there and they'd sleep, and you'd fight the mosquitoes, and oh god, they were just wild, wild times. Oh,
it was like a wild time to grow up in.
It was, but it was something else.
Gosh.
And, yeah, gosh, I so many stories.
Yes, just a lot of them could not be recorded.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh golly. Yeah, I'm sure the monkey fishing. There's some legendary.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Monkey fishing stories.
It was just. It was too much.
Really wild.
Yeah, we would get the biggest motor that. 30 horse Johnsons. When 30 horse Johnsons was out, I believe the Mercury Marks had just come out with like a 55.
Wow.
And some of them would pool the motors, would put two motors on one boat. I remember me and my buddy, we run 230 horse Johnsons on one boat. Gosh, it seemed like it was fast.
Yeah.
It just seemed like, man, that's the fastest. And, of course, we could stay ahead of them when they would jump us. We could outrun them. We was running through the creek one night with those two motors, and the steering cable broke, and it put us in the swamp.
Yeah,
we was rounding a curve, one of the sharp bends there in the creek, and we never came out of the curve. We went right on in the swamp. It turned hard like that, and the cables popped and sent us right in the swamp. But there, it progressed from the dual motors, 30 horses, all the way up to, I remember one time whenever the guys were running, I think the biggest motor you could get when it was in the heyday, well, tapering off from the heyday, I should say, was like a 78 Mercury. And some guys were running two 78 horse Mercuries on Myron War 14-foot flat bottoms. Now, you talk about something hairy, is those things. You were running on about this much of the stern of the boat.
The boat was just
touching the water, just like that. You was running on the cavitation plates and the stern board. That's all that was in the water. And of course, I was never in those things. I was too chicken. I wouldn't
too
get
smart.
Yeah,
I think I'd say that would be the word I would use.
Those things was hairy. Golly, they was.
That is wild.
But that was the thing, boy. You had to have a fast boat. You had to have a fast boat.
So that started around 53 or so.
I think so. I would guess 53 or 54, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, hot enough. Oh, it looks beautiful.
That's going to be a pretty good guess.
Mm-hmm.
That it was. Of course, 55 and 56 was the heyday.
Oh, really?
57. That's when it was just going full bore, and everybody was doing it. Yeah.
So they. Did they not fish crabs and stuff then, if they were just busy doing...
You didn't do anything.
Forget
because
everything,
you fished, depending on... We fished at night, mostly, for a lot of reasons. Can't see, you can't
right,
be seen
right.
as you're eating. Fish held up better, because they wasn't in the direct sunlight and the heat.
Sure.
But then it graduated to daytime fishing. And, for example, if you fished all night, you certainly spent the rest of the day sleeping. And getting ready for the next night, you didn't have time to do anything else. And it was so easy that all the other equipment was you just didn't mess with it. that was
sounds sort of like prohibition or something. Everybody was doing it.
I say everybody. Well, you know what I mean, everybody.
Sure.
Like every fisherman that was in fishing and a lot of the people that was not in fishing was doing it. A lot of mill workers was doing it on the side.
Oh,
yes, power plant workers, and so forth. Yeah, it was just,
that is sounds like wild times.
It was, golly, it was so hairy.
Fishing game must have really had a tough time.
I was in Tallahassee to a game commission meeting not too long ago. Well, as a matter of fact, it was last year. It wasn't too long ago. It was last year. And I attend those meetings when something that pertains to us comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I go to those. And one of the wardens, the officers that used to be here back in that period of time, is now in Tallahassee, and he's kind of far up on the on the staff. And I called him when I was in Tallahassee there last year, tried to get together with him to knock around some old times.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was. This was during the time when they was having all the trouble with the flooding over in the that part of the state. And he was out at some dam that was about to.
Oh gosh.
They was having some trouble, and he was out there doing some supervision work on the dam, and he couldn't come in. But we talked a little bit on the phone, and he was. He seemed like he would have been anxious to meet up with me again and go over
That's
some old
neat.
Time, but.
I'd love to hear that.
But yeah, Yeah, he would. He, we would sit around the campfires in the creek up there, and when they would come up, they'd be just regular guys. We'd sit around and talk just like you and I are sitting here talking. But yet when we was on the water, it was strictly business. Catch me if you can, and if you can't, why, good for me. he invited us down one night. He and my buddy, we went down one night and had a steak dinner with him. He invited us down for a steak dinner. It was none of this deal.
No real hatred
between peoples as such. Yeah. But if I was out there, believe me, he didn't pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
If I was doing it and he saw me, he was on to me. But those were wild old times.
God. Did that divide the community at all? Did some people think it was bad? Yeah. And
well, that gets back to what we were talking about last night, like. People look down their noses on you because you were a bootlegger and an outlaw and that kind of thing. Yeah.
So people would, maybe, I guess there weren't any retirees down here. But
not at that time. They was not, the area had not grown up the way it has.
Were there sports fishers?
Yeah, there were sport fishermen. Just
daytime people from Jacksonville and all would come down?
Yeah.
So it was still an industry.
The camps were big back then. Fish camps were real big back then. Boat rentals and so forth, and they always had people out. And the sport camps, they were real adamant about getting it stopped. They just,
So that would have divided the community.
Yeah, it was always not so much because of that particular type of fishing, but sports and commercial have always been at odds for one reason or another.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. But.
Well, you were mentioning the tide, and I'm sure that affects fishing now a lot, or at least in the St. John's, where the tide's going.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the moon? Do phases in the moon affect fish behavior?
I guess so. I don't have anything other than just my experience, but you may or may not have heard me on the phone last night talking to Doug.
And I was talking to Cindy, and I didn't hear you.
I told him I'd gone out and raised eels. Raised the eel traps and told him that my catch was off. And I said, we've just come over the full moon, so that's what I'm blaming it on, because of the fact that they were off. Back when we were catlining, now I can't remember exact when I'm talking about when Cindy and I was catlining in the early 70s, and that's the only thing we did for a year.
Wow.
We catlined every day. Mm-hmm. For a year. We didn't have traps. We didn't have any equipment other than a cat line and a boat. And that's what we did.
That's some hard work, I bet.
And we accumulated from that. But I discovered that at one particular phase of the moon, the fish did not bite at one place or the other. In other words, they either did not bite on shore or they did not bite in the middle. Now, that's the point that I'm fuzzy on. I can't remember which way it was. But they didn't bite at one place or the other on the full moon. And I always tried to remember, I did remember at that time, and I would fish. If it was the deep when they didn't bite, then I would fish the shallow. But if it was the shallow when they didn't bite, then I would fish the deep, if you follow what I'm saying.
Right.
And so we did that. But depending on the fisherman you talk to, you will get different stories of why you didn't catch any fish, or why you did catch fish, and the full, and they blame parts of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say new moon, full moon.
I should ask Dave Sheffield about that. I bet he would.
He would. He could tell you probably.
Yeah, I didn't even think to ask him. The reason I asked you is because when I was with the Schmitz, they said that the shad run better at the full moon because they did a real good catch.
Yeah.
I guess the day before it was rough, and the day it was rough, and it was the full moon. The night it was rough, I believe.
Yeah, it's only the moon full two days ago.
Yeah.
3 days now.
And they were saying that they're always better run with the full moon. And I was just wondering about how much fishermen would depend on the phase of the moon.
If you pay attention to it, it means a lot. But in trap fishing and hook net fishing, it don't mean that much because, for example, when you're raising traps and nets, hook nets, you don't raise them like every day or every 3 days. Those devices fish, they set from one raisin to the next anywhere from 5 days to 2 weeks.
Wow.
Depending on how the fish are running. So you would come in a period of time where you don't know if the fish went in or didn't go in on any phase of the moon.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Yeah. But whereas with cat lining, you would.
Where you go every day. That's right. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Where you can see that day's results, you can tell. But in this, now there are some people who will tell you, we don't do good on full moons. Our nets was off because of the full moon. And I've caught myself even saying, well, I didn't have as good a catch this time because the moon just went, the full moon just went. So. But now, whether that's true, I don't know. It could have been any number of factors, I would guess. But yeah.
Oh, he's following her.
Oh, she got him some feed.
Oh, that's why. It wasn't just affection. It's. Oh, he's not so sure.
He's squawking.
Oh, look at that. That is so funny. A little zoo out there.
Down the hatch.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, you can see it go down his throat.
Yeah, yeah. You see his throat expand. See?
Oh, that's wild.
And he'll watch him now. Watch him how he raised it up. Now he's raised it up so that it fits over the body cavity, and it goes right down in the body cavity. If you can see his body cavity, see the hump right on top of his back there? He's got to get his neck up so that it can go down in the cavity.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he has kind of brownish.
Yeah, he's got a brown spot there.
Underneath.
Yeah. I thought he was just like a dog. Like,
well, he was listening like a dog, I guess. That was amazing.
And you talk to him, and he'll squawk back. I don't want to say him, but.
That is amazing. You must be the only people on the block with a great blue heron in the backyard, acts like a dog.
He visits the other docks around, but he's not very leery about everybody else.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
But he can be off anywhere, and Tommy can go out on the dock if he has a fish, and he can whistle, and pretty soon.
Really?
Yeah.
He knows what it means, food.
Yeah, it's kind of novel.
It is. Well, believe it or not, I think I've about run out of questions. I've been quizzing you, like, unbelievably. I think I really have about run out.
Well,
this is.
If you got all the information you needed, that's good.
Yeah, I think so. Just about. I was real interested in that moon.
Yeah, well, that's the best I could.
Funny, yeah.
Best explanation I could come up with. Hard to tell when you let your equipment set that long.
Can't tell what day the fish are coming in on. Yeah.
Maybe the bait has to get to a certain point in souring before the fish want it. Or.
Well, those catfish really like to eat old grungy stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, did your roommate try to fish? They were cold.
She got in late last night, so she didn't try them. And then she was asleep when I left, so I haven't. I went to bed early.
So I don't blame you.
Yeah. I thought I'd have to get up at the crack of dawn and be out on this ocean, or this lake, rather. I thought, oh, I better go to bed early. So I haven't talked to her yet, but thank you so much. Go back and have that for lunch today.
Yeah, I wish it had been